Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open up your word this morning, we're asking the Holy Spirit to be with each of us, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, Father, into this thy word, that we can receive more knowledge and more wisdom and a better understanding, Father, of your word, so that we can walk upright according to your way and your will, and walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ as we walk, Father, in the understanding of your word. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study this morning, and I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 11th chapter now of Mark. Now, here in verse 1, says, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem and to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. Two, and says unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be enter into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man set. Loose him and bring him. Three, and if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord has need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. All right, now, as we take a look there, these are Jesus' final days in Jerusalem. While the exact chronology of the passage is disputed. Tradition places 11:1 on the Sunday before the resurrection. Now, and this coat he's asking for, where man never sat, an animal that's devoted to a sacred purpose must not have been put to common use. Now, 4, verse 4. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door, without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed it. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye loosen the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strode them in the way. 9. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You see, the crowd's cry echoes words from Psalms 118, 25 through 26. The occasion recalls the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. The passage which rabbis of Jesus' day were unable to account for. And how could the Messiah be content with so lowly an entry? Hosanna means save, we pray, or saved now. The word Hosanna means. Now, 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree far off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, you know, if it was not time for figs, just why did Jesus look for them? The fig tree is a well-known Old Testament symbol for Israel. He's going to use this unproductive tree as a teaching aid. Looking for figs, when there should have been none anyway, would serve to heighten the disciples' curiosity and sharpen their memory of the incident. But the tree itself was not acting right. Because you see, this tree had leaves on it. And a fig tree, at the same time that it has leaves, it has figs. This one didn't. That's why it was done. But also as a teaching aid, yes. Now, 15. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrow the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. Now, you see these that were selling things there in the church and all. Jesus is running them out. And you're in 17. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Now the things they were selling were things that were used in worship service and for sacrifices and things that way. But you see, things like that don't need to be going on at and in the church, because it does cause confusion and a lot of other things, and it will cause people to stay away even. Now, 18. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and thought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the root. Now, this morning, that he's talking about here in verse 20, is on a Tuesday of Passion Week. 21, and Peter calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have soever he saith. You see, he is using that tree as a teaching aid. But the tree was wrong in itself too. 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, you know, one must keep in mind other portions of Jesus' teaching that shed forth light on this. And you can also find some more on this, Matthew 6, 10 through 2, and 2 Corinthians 12, 8. Now, he goes on, letting them know there's more to it. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. You see, you can't stand and hold a grudge. And a lot of people do that. They get upset about something that you may have said, And it could have been, could be the truth. Because I have spoken to several about things they would ask me, and I'd tell them, give them an answer that was the truth and from God's word. But they didn't like it. And they have held grudges against me a long time. And are still holding the grudge. And you see, that's why God's not going to forgive you, because when you are a child of God and you do these things and you answer questions and things like that and they get upset, they're really not upset with you like they think. They're upset with that word of God. Now, 27. And they come again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, there come to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, by what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. You see, Jesus knows it all. He knows everything that's in us, our very thoughts. 30. The baptism of John, this is what he's asking. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. 33, and they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering said unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Now, and he's being straight with them because he had told them, you answer me and I'll answer you. I'll give you your answer. Well, they wouldn't answer him, so he's not going to tell them. You see, that's a way of teaching. He let them know, you better be straight. Now, we've come to the end of chapter 11. And chapter 12 is a long chapter, 44 verses. And it covers quite a bit. Quite a few things. Starts out with a parable. And then it goes to tribute to Caesar, the questions about the resurrection, the great commandment, the questions of David's son, Jesus denounces the scribes, the widow's offerings. It's all in this one chapter. There is a lot to cover there and a lot for us to take in. So it's going to take time to really study this. So I'm not going to get into that. We're going to be stopping a little early this morning. And when I get into this, I want to be able to go on through it. We just don't. I'm going to start. We'll see what God does with us. All right. chapter 12 and verse 1. And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it, and digged a place for the wine vat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And at the season, he sent to the husbandman a servant that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast stones and wounded him in the head and sent him away shamefully handled. 5. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. 6. Having yet for one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. 7. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandman and will give the vineyard unto others. 10. And have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. 11. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Now, you know, the wicked vine dressers are a parable of Israel. By parable means, problematically, denoting the manner in which Jesus spoke, for he uses only one parable. The vineyard stands for Israel, as the leaders recognize. Now, in these, servants would stand for the Old Testament prophets and John the Baptist. Jesus foresees the treatment he will receive. He will be cast out of the vineyard. Hebrews 13:12 speaks of Jesus suffering without the gate. You know, Jerusalem destruction in A.D. 70 will be a partial fulfillment of this statement. And we find which is marvelous is used in the sense of remarkable or striking. Now, here in 13, and they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. And they left him and went their way. 13. And they sent unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. 14. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true, and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of the men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? You see, they're still trying to test him and to catch him to where they can get rid of him one way or the other. 15. Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempt ye me? He's asking them this question now. Why tempt you, ye me? Bring me a penny, that I may see it. Well, and they brought it. And he saith unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. 18. You see, they thought that he wasn't going to say Caesar. They'd be able to get rid of him that way. But see, he didn't. Now, 18. Then came unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die, and leave his wife behind, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed. And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed. And the third likewise. And the seven had her, and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall raise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife. Anything in temptation, see, trying to tempt him and catch him into something. And it seems like they just never learn. You know, we're not smart enough to trick him into anything. 24. Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? He letting them know you err because you don't know the scriptures, nor do you know the power of God. 25. For when they shall raise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. But how many of man today really realize even that? Because they do not study the Word of God, for the most part. Even those that will pick up the Bible once in a while, they'll read parts of it like a storybook, and they don't take time to really see what it is saying to them. Now, 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Now, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And how many are falling short of that today because they're taking things into themselves from this world instead of things of Almighty God? And they're not even looking for things of God, but they're looking for what they consider great things here from this earth. And the second is like namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Those two are the greatest of the commandments. And when you really stop and think about this, of what he's really telling us there, you can understand why they are the greatest and why we all need both of these in our lives. Because without them, we're not going to make heaven our home. Now, 32. And the scribe saith unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. Now, Verse 33, and to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all strength, and to love His neighbor as Himself. It's more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that does ask him any questions. This scribe, like some of the Old Testament, realize that heart, commitment, and obedience out of gratitude to God were of utmost importance. God cannot be bribed into accepting us if we do not, from the heart, devote ourselves to Him. See also Psalms 40, verse 6. And you know, meaning wisely or sensibly appears only here in the New Testament, there in 34. Now we'll pick up here with verse 35. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, The Lord saith to my Lord, Set thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself called him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. But you see, got another thing going here to cause a lot of discussion. Now, all of us that study the Bible, we know what he's talking about there. Now, 38. And he saith unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which desire widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. Kind of getting straight to the point there. Now, many scribes of that day were dependent on generous individuals for their livelihood, and some abused the hospitality they were shown and brought their hopeless donors to the brink of financial ruin. Others flaunted their religion for the sake of impressing others with their spirituality and perhaps thereby obtaining more support. But, you see, things don't always work that way. 41, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which makes a puzzle. 43, and he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them. Now, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. 44. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. She had gave everything she had. She had nothing left. God does not measure giving by conventional human standards. We all know this. He just don't do it. And the mite was worth something like 1/8 of a cent. It was so small that its stamp was barely legible. We know God does not know by how much of anything, but it is how much of ourselves we are giving and are willing to give and will give. That's what God is looking for. Those that had were rich men. They was casting in a lot, but you see, they wasn't given their all either. They were just given because they had it to give. But she gave everything she had. She had nothing left for herself at all. And this is the way, if we're going to make heaven our home, especially in this day and time in which we are living, we are going to have to get to be the same way, that we are willing to give God everything, including our lives. In order to be what God is wanting of you and I to be. Think about that. And when you will give a full commitment unto God, He'll put you to work and He'll see that you have what you need. May not be everything you would want, but He'll see that you have everything that you need. Think about that. And think about where you want to spend eternity. Do you want to spend eternity in heaven or in hell in that lake of fire? You've got two choices. And that is the two choices. Either choose heaven or choose hell in that lake of fire. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for this time that we can come together to share God's word with others. It's not out here with us, Father, but it is in other places, Father. Now, Father, help us to help along the way to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we pray for all the saints wherever they are in this world. We ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Father, I pray for Israel and Jerusalem. Father, that they will also accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, filled with so much evil, I pray, Father, that those that are sitting in offices and high places that are evil, that has brought this evil upon this land and our people, be removed from office, Father, and replaced with those that are walking in righteousness, that serves you, that loves you and loves the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the church, loves your people, and loves this land. And Father, that will work with us and help us to bring this land to repentance so it can be healed and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for those that are in my heart, Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, Tom, Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, James Taylor, Sue Branson, Debbie, and Darren, Father, Courtney and Shane, to my wife, Father, for myself, for all of our families, because we all have family members that are not living right, walking lost. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit work with them and help to bring them to realize that they need something more than themselves. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. and that they will come from darkness to the light, and that light being Jesus, and repent and get that forgiveness started and start that life new. As we separate this morning to go through our day, I pray, Father, for you to keep us all in health, keep us safe, and bring us together again this evening at 6 p.m., Father, and back into your word. This, Father, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great, great day.